Tonight I would like to talk about generosity, which is one of the very important foundations of in Buddhism, one of the very important aspects for one who is trying to fulfill their, you know, qualities, life after lives. It's called paramis. And then this generosity is one of them, dana. Generosity comes first in this, the fulfilling of your merits, you know, in this life and, you know, for the future lives to follow. What is generosity? Of course, if you have, you know, millions of dollars, you go and donate $1,000 to some charity organization, you know. That still is, of course, generosity, but the intensity is not that much, isn't it? But generosity is coming from compassion, coming from understanding, coming from this kindness, from realization of life, how beings, you know, suffer in life, and the compassion to ease the suffering of all beings, be it human beings, be it animals. You try to do what you can, and you go above and beyond your comfort zone. One example would be, you know, which need courage as well, bravery as well. One example would be somebody called David. This is a true story, and this happened in Perth quite a few many years ago. I don't remember how many years ago. If David is, you know, he would be about a, you know, 20, 25, 30 in that region, you know. And when he was young, his parent bought him a brand new BMX bike for his birthday or something like that. Memories are not that clear anymore. It read many, many years ago. And as he was enjoying riding his new BMX bike, like any other boys do, very proud of it, very fond of it, mad about it, and he came across a group of young kids trying to kick the a little rabbit, like a football, you know. And he saw that, and there are lots of them, you know, quite a group of kids, so he cannot, you know, fight them or shoo them away or, you know, rescue the little rabbit. And he's quite not a strong young man at the time. You can see he's a thin, you know, sort of young lad, you know. What he did was, he said, you know, if you give me that rabbit, I'll give you my bike. So they agreed, and they gave him the rabbit, and then he gave them the bike, you know. So he rescued the rabbit. That is his generosity, gave up his bike to rescue, and also bravery, and you know, decisive action, you know, to take out of this compassion and kindness coming, the generosity, with bravery, courage. He has the courage to go up and tell them, you know. And he could be beaten up or anything, but he gained himself enough courage to go and trade it. You know, I give you my new BMX bike, you please give me that little rabbit. And it was in the newspaper with the little rabbit. Luckily, the little rabbit survived and didn't have a serious injury or anything. It's a very cute little thing as well. And when it was in the newspaper, oh, people read about it, and then their heart pours out. And he got so many bike offers. So many bike offers. So probably see the follow-up, or they didn't follow up, I think. I believe he would get the best bike, you know, around the best BMX bike he can get, I think. And many other more. So if you look at this, even a young child at that age, you know, with the generosity there, where it comes from his kindness, this one, compassion, and feeling of, you know, hurt of the little rabbit in his heart, a good heart. So with this create, you know, with these conditions in his heart, it creates courage and generosity, you know, to give up his bike. So this, if you look at this, generosity comes from not giving, you know, what, you know, things you don't want, but what you can give, you know, to the needy that come across to you. Of course, David is not offering his bike to everyone, every cruel kid around the world, because he hasn't come in contact with them. What surrounds him, what's near him, he practiced. So what near us, what is there, you know? We try to practice it, you know? We try to have this generosity. So in Buddhism, you have this tradition of the monks who are not allowed to have money, in the Theravada tradition, and who are not allowed to cook for themselves, to grow things for themselves, they have to rely on the people. That's the reason for it. So the people can practice generosity. They go and offer food every day, every day. In many countries, the lunchtime is before 12 noon, say about 10:30. And after 12, they can't eat. But in some countries, like Thailand and in the forest tradition, they eat the meal of the day about 8 o'clock in the morning. Because most of the people in the villages go to work early. So by 6:30 or 7, they go for alms round, you know, and people donate food, and then they come back and eat about 8 o'clock. That's a meal of the day. So this is a tradition Buddha has set up for the people to be able to practice generosity, as well as for the monks to be able to practice concentrating their time on learning the aspect of Buddha's teaching and practicing it, so that they can teach the lay people. So this existence of interdependency that Buddha has created. So in a sense, this you know, tradition that is set up is an indication of how long Buddhist teaching will last. As long as people are supporting the community of Buddhist sons and daughters, monks and nuns, that means the Buddhist teachings will last. Otherwise, it wouldn't. And other story about generosity is it's my own experience. When I was working as a radio officer on the ships many, many years ago, and we were leaving Pakistan, Karachi, in the evening. As the ship left the port, after a while it became, you know, dusky in the dusk. I have finished my duties and I went to the, you know, bridge, and I looked down and I saw some silhouettes in the bow, you know, moving. And I thought, my goodness, that looks like people, can't see very clearly. And then what happens later on is the crew found out their stowaways, three Pakistani stowaways. They're trying to go to other countries like Dubai and this and that, where there is more work opportunities. So they, you know, don't have money for the fares and this and that, I think. So they take a hitchhike and they were caught. So we have to radio back to the customs, and then we have to turn the ship back. And the custom boat, you know, came and boarded the ship, and then they were interviewing the people in the ship's hall, and they were belting them up, you know, really hitting them, you know. And all of us were watching, quite scared, you know, this police, you know, quite big ones, beating these people who are you know, quite helpless, you know. And then everyone's not saying anything, or dare not say anything, just watching this cruelty. And then suddenly something came up in mind, and I said, oh, these people are suffering. And I said, you know, stop, you know. I shouted quite loudly, stop. And then they got, you know, bewildered, and they stopped. And I said, you know, they said, why? They give you trouble, they said, you know. I said, no, 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 you can't do that. I said, you know, according to international law, you can't treat like this. You know, you got to treat them with respect, you know. As if I know I was talking, but I was trying to protect these people. And they stopped beating them. And I was so scared, you know. I was so scared. But anyhow, I maintained my exposure. And then, you know, they didn't beat them anymore. And then they, you know, take their statements and this and that, and they took them away. So this is part of generosity. I gave up my fear. I tried to, give my, you know, fear, give away my fear for them out of this kindness, compassion, and that is my generosity. So sometimes in a situation, even though you are frightened, you know, for you have to practice your generosity in a way that you can, you know. You can't just hold it back because we are afraid. And there are many ways of generosity, you know, that you can do. Mainly, generosity comes from this understanding of human suffering and the compassion and feelings that you have for them, that you want them to be relieved of this pain and suffering of this world in any form, in any shape. So this is very good to practice generosity. The best place to start practicing generosity at home. It doesn't mean that, you know, you buy presents and giving money to your sons and daughters and nieces and nephews, etc. And what I'm saying is you give time, you give your patience, you give your help, you know, like that. And then you give, when you are patient, then you have a patience to listen to their problems instead of brushing away and, you know, in a hurry, you know, like that. You give proper time and build up a proper relationships, you know, and then they will talk you all the things, and you always have time and ear to listen to them. These are the things that is important, and where times that you need to physically help as well, you do. You go and do it for them. You have money, you set up for them. So this is the way that that Buddha encourages people to be generosity. And because of generosity as well, you don't become stingy. What is stinginess? Stinginess is attachment and clinging to whatever you have, your money, your car, your possessions, that is clinging. But that clinging, that attachment, brings more suffering. You put more locks in your house. You've got more mechanisms for your car not to be stolen, you know, because it's so expensive and this and that. And, you know, all sort of suffering you go through, you can't sleep in the night, isn't it? And you don't have true friends because you put spikes in your body and people can't approach you in case they come and ask your money. So that's what stinginess is, and you don't give out to people, you don't share. So you're closed in, your mind is closed in, and there is so much unhappiness in that, even though you have this bag full of money in the bank, and things like that. But that money, that materials, that possessions, when you die, you can't take it with you. But that goodness you have done out of this generosity, that what you can take with you. So people are not understanding this. These possessions are, of course, we have a Buddhist set to protect your wealth properly. Doesn't mean that you have to be stingy. You know, you are generous, you help people who deserve to be helped, who needs help, you know, like that. So this practicing generosity itself is practicing Buddhism, because it purifies your mind. It also, in a sense, you have the ability to let go of things. You're not attaching to things that much. So you free your heart, you free your mind. You know, in that sense, you become more, a free person, with light-hearted. You have no heaviness in your heart. Your heart is free and your heart is pure. That's why I said, look, concentrate on your heart. If there is any tiredness, any pain, any cloudiness, you know, that shows that if you have, you have these worries. And when you practice and when you don't have them, when you release them, and you're free from pain and sorrow to a certain degree. The more you practice, the more you are free. So practicing generosity is very important in life. And with the practice of generosity, you know, you let other people to practice generosity as well. I heard a story about Dalai Lama going around where he lives in India, and there are poor Tibetans, old ladies, got nothing, wearing rags and very poor, and then offering him those blessing cloth, you know, in silk and expensive. You know, I was told this, one journalist told him, you know, quite angry, and said, "You have got everything. And this, look at this old lady, so poor and got nothing. And yet you are taking it from him, you know. You don't need that, you know. But the old lady needs it." And so the Dalai Lama said, "I don't need it, but she needs to give. She needs to practice generosity." So you have to let people practice generosity as well. Sometimes things that you really don't need it, but when people offer you, if it's going to make them happy, you accept it and you use it so that they gain merit out of it. So these are the things. Generosity comes from not liking and disliking, but coming from understanding of life, compassion, and trying to, you know, wanting to release their, you know, pain, suffering, and sorrow of the feeling, of the people, you know, to make them happy. So you practice generosity, and I encourage you to practice in your daily life, and from that, if you start practicing, I'm sure you'll gain happiness and peace out of it. Thank you.